This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Rough news today for the folks at GlaxoSmithKline. The London-based pharmaceutical company says it is cutting 900 jobs from its facilities at Research Triangle Park. It's part of a restructuring plan to consolidate its R&D efforts. In a statement released earlier today, the company said some R&D roles will be relocated to Philadelphia. Some will be offered other relocation. The cuts, part of a reorganization that aims to reduce the company's expenses by more than $1.5 billion over the next 3 years. Triangle Business Journal reporter Jason DeBruin has been following the story and joins us now. Hello, Jason.
Frank, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Tell us more about this announcement today.
So you hit the nail on the head. The big number is 900. The company line from Glaxo is that they hope to reduce that and then maybe not have it actually affect 900 people through, you know, job freezes and not hiring new people as they leave. But the big number is in the neighborhood of 850 to 900. I think probably the big story as much as anything is that this is going to affect the research and development or the R&D folks the most. That's something that Glaxo has said that they were going to cut back on worldwide, but it has definitely hit RTP the hardest. Basically, what's happening is Glaxo has three main R&D hubs, one being in London, one being in Philly, and one being here in RTP, and it sort of turns out that RTP was the one that's going to be left out in consolidation. You mentioned that they're going to hope to try to potentially consolidate or offer jobs to people in Philly, but of course that would mean a relocation, something that some people might be willing to do, but probably not too many, depending on how many jobs they even offer. So, yeah, big blow for us here today.
As you said, company-wide, RTP takes the biggest hit in part of an international reorganization. But what percentage of the workforce for Glaxo at RTP does this 900 jobs represent?
So there are 4,500 employees that Glaxo has here in the Triangle area. About 2,500 of those are in R&D. So it's a pretty significant portion. We've thrown around the 20% number. I think by time all is said and done, it might be even a little bit north of 20%. Mm. So a pretty big hit.
Why R&D? What's going on at Glaxo that makes this the target?
Well, as much as anything, it's sort of an industry-wide shift away from doing a lot of R&D in-house. You've seen this kind of across the board in a lot of other big pharma companies. I'll point to particularly Merck or Pfizer, even Pfizer in the 2008 and 2009 timeframe spent about 16% of its revenue on R&D. By the time 2012 and 13 rolled around, that had shrunk to less than 13%. 3% might not sound like a lot, but when you're talking a company that has, you know, 40, 50, 60 billion in revenue, you're talking some real dollars and some real jobs. The shift is really happening industry-wide, and the reason is big pharma companies are looking to not do as much in-house early-stage research and really let academic institutions like the folks at UNC Chapel Hill or Duke and even smaller pharmaceutical companies, again, like we have many here in the Triangle, do some of that early work. Back in the 80s and the 90s, you had big pharma companies doing a lot of that work in-house. There was a whole lot less risk. Companies were developing, you know, major blockbuster drugs and at a pretty faster clip than they are now. Now there's a whole lot more risk. You see a lot more companies go belly up early and mid-stage in the development process, and big pharma companies have simply had too many failures and don't have the stomach to risk those kind of losses anymore.
So we talked about the R&D facility taking or R&D workers taking the biggest hit. There's also a production facility in Zebulon. What impact does this have on them?
Very little, and maybe if there's a silver lining, that's it, is that, as you mentioned, the Zebulon facility is primarily a manufacturing one. They make Advair and then also some other respiratory drugs there. They don't expect to have hardly any cuts at that facility, so if there is a silver lining, it's that the Zebulon facility will not be impacted.
Although you mentioned Advair, that's part of the reason, as I understand it, that Glaxo is having to look at this restructuring. Advair is one of the products that's sort of in the crosshairs. Tell us about that.
No question about it. Advair has been the biggest or the number one seller that Glaxo has had for many years. It's an asthma drug. Your listeners might be familiar with it. It comes in that purple discus. It's an inhaler. And yes, sales of that have declined here recently. I'll give you some numbers. As recently as last year, Glaxo was even selling about $2.5 or $2.6 billion of that drug per quarter. And that has shrunk down to closer to maybe $1 or $1.5 billion per quarter now. Certainly still a lot of money, but a pretty significant decrease from what it was even just a year or 2 years ago.
And part of that is that it's coming out from under the patent. Is that most of the reason now, and also because of the high cost of Advair?
No question about it. The patent protection is definitely one of them. Generics are beginning to come online for many different asthma drugs. So GSK isn't the only one facing some generic pressure. In addition to that, you have pharmacy benefits management companies that work with insurance companies to pay for drugs that are really beginning to put pressure on pharmaceutical companies to reduce the price of their drugs, particularly in areas like asthma, diabetes, where there's a good amount of competition. Pharmacy benefits managers are saying to drug companies, hey, look, we want to get a better deal. We've been paying too much for these drugs for too long. We want to get a better deal. And if they go to GSK and GSK says, we're not going to give you a better deal, then they say, well, we'll go to Pfizer or Merck or one of these other companies that also makes an asthma drug, and we're going to get them to sell it to us for cheaper. Now, what that has the effect of doing is that you, the patient, if you have, say, Express Scripts or whoever your pharmacy benefit manager is, you might see that your options are slightly reduced. However, the options that you have remaining likely are going to give you a better price because the insurance company or the pharmacy benefits management company has been able to negotiate a lower price for you.
And that already happened once, at least once, with Glaxo.
Exactly, it did. I mentioned Express Scripts. They're the largest pharmacy benefits management company in the world. And at the end of 2013, they did exactly that, went to GSK and said, we'd like to have a reduced price for Advair. GSK didn't come back with something that was agreeable to them, and they took GSK's Advair out of their formulary. And what that means is, you as a patient, of course, could still buy Advair, but you would have to pay the full price out of pocket. Of course, as we all know, the way insurance companies work is that they negotiate down a price, and then not only do they negotiate down a price, but they also pay for a portion of your costs. So, whenever you end up going and paying your copay, that would end up being a significantly lower amount for you if you went with one of the drugs that Express Scripts had put in their formulary.
Right. So insurance companies certainly in the vanguard of trying to bring down costs. But we're now learning that the Affordable Care Act is maybe working some of its magic and doing some of what it was intended to do, which is to bring costs down by making us smarter consumers since we're in charge a little bit more. Is that right?
It is, yeah, and I guess I wouldn't say that there's necessarily any one piece of legislation that came out of the ACA that directly affected lower pharmacy costs. But in general, what it has done is, as you mentioned, just sort of made us more aware of how much we're paying. I think in years past or in decades past, many, many American healthcare consumers sort of just paid their monthly premiums, went to the doctor, whatever the doctor prescribed, they took it, went to the pharmacy and paid their copay and went on with their lives. Now people are being, I think, a good bit smarter about how they shop, particularly how they shop for their pharmaceuticals. And if there are two or three drugs that are very similar, as is the case in asthma, the drugs that are on the market are very similar to one another, then they're being a little bit smarter about asking their doctor, could they get one at a lower cost?
Earlier you said that R&D was in the crosshairs for industry-wide in the pharmaceutical business. More and more companies looking to universities and smaller companies to do the early work, the early expensive work, and then buying the patents or buying out the company. Does that mean that R&D workers who may be laid off are in a position to start their own companies and sell it all back to Glaxo?
Certainly, that is a possibility. If you look across the Triangle's pharmaceutical industry, you really can't go far without bumping into a dozen or so former Glaxo employees at any given company. They really are littered throughout the entire pharmaceutical industry here locally. That said, with 900 people hitting the jobs market kind of within a six-month time span or so, I don't know that all of those can necessarily be absorbed into the industry that we have here or, start their own companies. So while certainly a few of them will find positions at pharma companies here locally, I fear that too many of them will end up taking jobs either at other universities outside North Carolina or potentially at other pharma companies, you know, up in Boston, the Bay Area, and San Francisco, or some of the other major pharmaceutical hubs that that are growing just as fast or even faster than RTP.
All right, Jason, thank you very much. A pleasure as always. Thanks for talking with us.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Triangle Business Journal reporter Jason DeBruin. You can find a link to his reporting about GlaxoSmithKline at our website, stateofthings.org. Coming up, we will trace African-American education in North Carolina and the attempts to save a Rosenwald school in western North Carolina. We'll do that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.